Jason Campidonia.
Agents from the Arizona Attorney General's office and the Phoenix office of the FBI served two search warrants on Wednesday, one in Chandler and the other in Florence. Officials took Michelle Bastain into custody. Bastain has a healthy criminal record and even married her husband while in jail. The husband is behind bars for murder. Several reports say Bastain was upset that she was denied visitation at the Arizona State Prison Complex. No further details have been released. Jason Campidonia, Phoenix.
A new survey by the American Psychological Association showing that the presidential election is causing actual stress for many Americans. Dr. Lynn Bofka saying both Republicans and Democrats are reporting the election is a big source of it.
The most interesting is that among adults who use social media, even more of those individuals are reporting election-related stress, which probably has to do with how much information they're getting.
She recommends taking a break from politics once in a while. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning. At 11:02, guess who doesn't have the weather up? We're sitting here with Patty Carr, our guest today, talking. I forgot to get the weather. It is 55 cloudy degrees in Flemington. And there's a chance of it becoming sunny after 1 p.m. Nothing much else, with a high of 68. Friday is going to be clear with a high of 62. Saturday is going to be sunny with a high of 65. And Sunday looks like the winner of the weekend with a high of 69.
Jump right in here if you don't mind. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning, Jim.
And welcome to the Library Show, starring Jennifer Winberry and Jim Thatch, broadcasting live over the internet from the Huntington County Chamber offices in downtown Flemington, New Jersey. Tune in every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. and get to know the Huntington County Library. The library offers a wide array of services, programs, and community support to the residents of Huntington County. On today's show, local author Patty Kerr joins us in the studio. The HCL Amateur Photography Show is currently on display in our main gallery. Be sure to stop by, check it out, and vote for your favorite photograph. Jennifer is super lazy today, which is just like normal lazy, except she's wearing a cape. Fall programs for kids and adults, information about our annual gingerbread competition, and much more on today's Library Show. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to Patty Kerr.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here. Really happy to be here.
So Patty will be joining us for all or most of our program. I guess Jennifer's left it up to her. If she gets bored, we've allowed her to leave. So we'll see.
She might find us entertaining.
So we're going to lead right off with Patty Kerr. Patty Kerr, Jennifer, why don't you introduce Patty properly?
Patty properly? Well, Patty Kerr is a local author who wrote a book.
Let me interrupt you real quick. What music are you playing?
Autumn Leaves.
Oh. Is this Frank Sinatra?
It is.
Thank you.
I've lost my train of thought. She wrote a book, I Love You, Who Are You? Loving and Caring for a Parent with Alzheimer's. And she'll tell us how she came to write that book that she never thought she would. never thought she'd write a book, but she wrote the book after caring for her mother, and she became so immersed in it, she became a certified Alzheimer's educator. And she speaks on, it speaks all over the country pretty much, right? Mm-hmm. Is that correct? On Alzheimer's. And is it safe to say you thought you were finished?
Absolutely.
And then last year, or was it earlier this year already?
It was earlier this year.
Wow.
March of this year, yeah.
It just seems like...
I know. Time flies.
Patty wrote a book, Magical Dogs, about all different stories about dogs, their owners, what dogs can bring to us. And but most all that money, all your proceeds from that book, you've donated to different...
Half of the proceeds. I donate back to local animal rescues and animals in need.
And you donated them to a family... whose young son needed a
a diabetes alert dog.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Actually, the dog will be coming to live with them in January.
Oh,
they're
nice.
In the training process.
Oh, that's
now,
so exciting.
So it's exciting, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a little inarticulate today because I've been on vacation all week and I haven't talked to more than one person at a time.
It's fine. We got your back.
Sorry. Thank you. So November is two different things that are sort of – that are not really connected, but they're both important to you. November is Write a Book Month. It's Write a Novel Month.
Yes.
And it's also Alzheimer Awareness Month.
Yes.
And you did, in fact, write your book in November?
Yeah. Well, I got the first draft done.
Okay.
Before we get started here, I want to acknowledge both of you and the Hunterdon County Library. I mean, I am a fifth-generation resident of Flemington and grew up across the street at the Flemington Library, was there all the time, always lugging books home.
Behind you.
And... back in the 70s, gratefully, the main branch opened. And by this time my sons were born in 1983, that's where they grew up, in the main branch of the library. They loved being there. So I just want to acknowledge everything we have in this county, thanks to our county library system. And also, that's why when I was launching both books, I did it at the Hunterdon County Library, the main headquarters branch. Because
we're so excited to have you.
You're part of my family. You really are. So thank you for all you do for the community.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, what were we going to talk about now that I got us off track?
Oh, no. I just want to say November is write a book month.
Yes, it is.
And it's a little more eloquent than that.
But. It's actually called National Novel Writing Month, NaNoWriMo. If you Google it, you'll find out what it is. And for those of you out there who want to write a book, I cannot recommend it strongly enough.
We have it right on our webpage.
Actually, we're going to
provide a
spot for people to write.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah, I spent too much time rewriting the first chapter of my book. I probably spent a good year rewriting the first chapter and never got beyond that. And in that month, you're committed to writing a certain number of words. So it actually is the impetus that get me to sit in my chair and just keep writing. So anybody who loves to write, wants to write, is thinking about a book.
What about you, Jennifer?
What
I thought you don't you have a half-finished novel?
I know it's not half-finished. I have the chapter I read to you.
Oh, okay. See, Jennifer is a burgeoning writer, I think. No?
I don't know. I have a...
See? That Patty, she needs a pep talk,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah. November's your month.
I know. But on our webpage, we have a link to our flyer. We're going to be having a kickoff event at the North County branch on Saturday, October 22nd. That's a week from Saturday at 10 a.m. and on... Saturday, October 29th at 10 a.m. at the Headquarters Library. It challenges authors, both aspiring and established, to write 50,000 words by the end of the month. We're going to have come write sessions. It'll give you a place to write. We're going to have the meeting room booked. The calendar's on. If you click on the link, the calendar is right there. Come write in. Get it? Come right in. WRITE. Yep.
That wasn't me. That wasn't my idea.
I didn't think it was.
But it's brilliant, who's ever it was.
And even when the meeting room's not available, you can just come in and sit in the library anywhere. In the meeting room, we are going to have some extra power strips and some tables set up if you need that formal.
Great.
So, you're always held up as the icon of that you can do this.
Absolutely.
Sit down and do this.
Absolutely. Actually, back in 1985, I wrote my life list. what a lot of people today call a bucket list. And one of the things on the list was to write a book. And I fully expected the book I would write would be a book about my dad's experience in World War II. He was a belly gunner on a B-17, was shot down on one of his final missions, and was taken prisoner and put on a death march. But every time I tried to get him to talk about it, he said, there's really nothing to tell, which is so common of that generation. You know, he said, I did what my country asked me. That's the end of the story. And then my mother was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I thought, there's no way I can force him to talk about a difficult part of his life when we're living a difficult part of his life. And ultimately, what ended up happening is after I helped my father care for my mother, and after she passed in December 2007, I decided that maybe there was a way we could pay it forward, because both my grandmother and my mother had Alzheimer's. But the reality is 95% of what's in my book I didn't know during all the years I was caring for my mom. We did the best we could, but I sat down and thought, if this is truly going to be helpful, I need more experiences, more stories, more advice. So I reached out to over 100 other professional and family caregivers, and I asked them questions. So the book actually goes from diagnosis to the end of the journey based on people's experiences and insights. So I tell people I actually wrote the book that I wished I'd had on my nightstand during all those years. So that's how that came into existence.
And then after that, you became a certified Alzheimer's educator?
It was simultaneous to that. Okay. I really wanted to get as much knowledge as I could during the process of writing it. And actually, during the process of writing it, people started saying to me, you know, started talking about me coming out and talking. And I never, ever anticipated that that would be something. I thought I would write the book and put it out, and that would be the end of it. But then I started traveling around and speaking to caregivers, which is what I love doing right now, because I'm able to do more hands-on stuff and talk with them and talk to them face-to-face and just encourage and support them, because so many people are being impacted by this disease.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead. Jennifer usually runs the interviews and does a good job.
I know, but you need to jump in because...
Oh, okay, I will when okay. I feel...
When you feel like it.
Not on the spot like that, oh, okay. Obviously.
All right. I know you looked like you were going to say something. So how many copies of books have you gotten into people's hands?
It's tough to say because it's also available on Amazon.
Okay.
Personally, I've probably gotten about 2,000 copies out through my website or at events. So that's huge because that's 2,000 people who may not have known what to do or how to approach something. In fact, the other day I was doing an event for my dog book, and a woman came up to me and started hugging me and said, I got your Alzheimer's book, and I need to thank you. She said, I actually got it several years ago when I was still caring for my mother. Her mother is now at a care facility, and she said, I refer to the book every day. And I think that's what we're here to do. We're kind of here to go through stuff and learn from it and get through it, and then, if possible, pay it forward and help others. So that's what the book is and will be about until we can find a cure.
And then November is National Alzheimer's
Day? Yes, yes.
And you'll be doing some events?
Yeah, the first week in November, I'm actually really busy. I kick off the month, November 1st, by speaking at Open Arms Adult Day Center in Lebanon. That's at 7 o'clock. It's free. It's welcome, you know. Professional family caregivers, general public are encouraged to come out. I'll be talking a little bit more about our journey with it and also giving them hands-on advice about how to get through the journey and also answering questions. So Open Arms Day Center. And there's information on my Facebook page if anybody's interested, which is I Love You, Who Are You on Facebook.
Okay. It's 11:15, so how about we pay some bills? You can talk.
That's fine.
I'll shut you off when you're
that
done talking.
That went quick.
I know, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll come back and talk some more about your dog book.
Sure.
Okay.
Love to.
We'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site.
affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I'm Jennifer Winberry with Jim Thatch, and visiting us today is author Patty Carr, author of I Love You, Who Are You? Loving and Caring for a Parent with Alzheimer's, and Magical Dogs. Let's talk a little bit about the Magical Dog book.
Sure.
How did that come about?
Well, you know, after the first book, I kind of thought, okay, I'm done. I checked off writing a book off my life list, and I was done. But what happened is another thing on that life list was to own a dog, because I never had a dog growing up. I never got my first dog until I was almost 50 years old. And in 2000...
Me too.
There's still hope for me.
That's the same case for me.
I can make that happen for both of you.
Oh, I have a dog now.
I have a husband still.
When that dog actually unexpectedly passed in 2012, because it was my first dog, I was really oblivious to how much that was going to impact me. I mean, I was absolutely devastated.
That's why I never wanted a dog in the first place, actually.
Really?
That was my main thing. I didn't want it because...
It's going to die?
Yeah, because I would fall in love with it, and to have it then it would die. So I that
you
resisted
married,
getting a dog
kids.
The whole time. I know it's backwards thinking, but
you got married,
I'm not looking
kids,
forward
Jim.
To that day.
I hate to tell
the
you.
The kids are going to die well after I do.
Let's hope so. But
can we change this to something a little happier?
Well, I don't understand your point
well, I'm
here.
I'm saying, like, you can't live like that.
Well, but don't compare dogs to children.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's fine. So after Brooke unexpectedly passed, I mean, I did what I typically do, which is start writing about it, because that's how I deal with my emotions and things I'm going through. But what also happened simultaneously was people started writing to me. They would send me emails or messages on Facebook or send me cards, which basically said, I understand what you're going through, and let me tell you about a dog I had. And as I started reading these, I thought, you know, there are some amazing dogs and connections out there. So the idea for this book was planted. So I started reaching out to these people and saying, would you like to possibly tell me your story for another book? And they said no. So I thought, okay, well, that's dead in the water. But in the meantime, I went to hear Elizabeth Gilbert speak up at the county complex up on Route 12. And once she was talking about her book she was working on at the time called Big Magic. And one of the things she said really hit me. And it was her belief that there are ideas floating around in the ethers all the time.
Oh, didn't you love that story she told?
Yeah. I mean, I won't go into it because you really should read that book and hear it from her own mouth. But essentially what struck me was she said, these ideas are floating around and they're looking for somebody to attach themselves to, somebody who will bring it into the world. And if it attaches itself to you, it's kind of your responsibility to do it or let it go to whoever is going to. So I thought, you know what, if I really believe that this book is meant to be and I'm the one who's meant to birth it, I need to get out of the way and let the dogs find me. And once I made that simple switch, it was unbelievable, the people and the dogs who found their way into my life, which is all part of the magical connection. It turned out there were a couple people that I knew prior, but a lot of the people in the book I was kind of led to in really unbelievable ways. And that's part of the magic of the book, and it's part of the magic of dogs. There are 25 true stories, dogs who impacted people's lives or the environment around them. And you were talking before about Sherry, the woman who has a son with type 1 diabetes. And he was diagnosed at a relatively early age, and he has a really tough time of it every day. And what is happening right now is his dog is being trained and will be up here in January, and the dog will actually alert him anytime there is a change in his blood sugar levels. And if James doesn't respond immediately, he'll actually run to get his parents or run to get him a juice box or insulin or whatever he needs. So it's just amazing what dogs can do in our lives.
Were all the dogs from the New Jersey, Hunterdon County area, or are they all from...
No, they're from around the country.
Wow.
And that's what I'm saying. It was kind of... I was working on one chapter, which is about how dogs help people through addiction problems. And there was a study that had been done, and I was looking for the woman who ran the study and kept hitting a brick wall. And I thought, gosh, this is interesting. I'd really like to include this. So I went to the next person on the list, who was actually the woman who provided dogs for the study. And she said to me, where are you? And I said, well, I live in Jersey, but right now I'm in New York State. And we talked a little bit more. And she said, meet me in 45 minutes at the Panera Bread in Albany. And I was like, okay. Grabbed my laptop, had no idea why I was going to meet this woman. Sat down. She started talking. It turns out she owns Out of the Pits, which is the oldest pit bull rescue in the nation. Got an amazing story from her. And as we were walking out, she handed me another name. She said, you need to talk to Meg Hutchinson. Now, Meg is a singer-songwriter, recently released a documentary about bipolar. She was diagnosed with it. She also adopted a severely abused pit bull. And when she performs, the pit bull comes out on stage with her. And she said what she finds is when she goes on stage, people have preconceived ideas about bipolar and preconceived ideas about the pit bull. And she said, as I perform and sing about my journey, she said, I can see light bulbs going off. So that by the end of the performance, people have a whole new view of bipolar and a whole new view of pit bulls. So she said, I think we've been brought together to educate people and to kind of, you know, change their preconceived ideas about both.
I know it's asking, like, if you have a favorite child, which of course you don't, but do you have a favorite, or was there a story in the book that especially spoke to you?
Oh, boy, I think every single one did. That would be like asking me to pick between my identical twin sons. It ain't going to happen, darling. I love them both, and I love all the stories, but...
Did you meet all the dogs and all the people?
No. And actually, that's what's been kind of nice. A couple weeks ago, I was asked to come do a fundraiser for Out of the Pits. I hadn't seen Sydney, the woman who started Out of the Pits, since I interviewed her, you know, back then. So it's been kind of nice, actually, reconnecting with the people and seeing how things are now coming together so that I can meet more of the dogs. But no, I haven't met them all.
But you travel through the country with...
Yeah,
a lot of the East Coast?
Mostly right now, Jersey. Yeah. I'm hoping to actually get on the road and start working on another book called On the Road with Magical Dogs.
Okay.
With that one, I would like to travel around the country and go to local rescues and interview local people and in the process meet all the people that were in the book. That would just be coming full circle. Would be pretty awesome.
I was going to ask you if you were going to work on something.
Yeah,
because you put everything... I don't know, you have this very generous spirit, and you seem to put everything into the project you're working on.
Well, thank you. Oh. I try.
Yeah.
Like I said, I think it's important in this life to pay it forward. So with the first book, I'm grateful I can help caregivers. With this one, I'm grateful to donate a portion of the proceeds to help dogs in need. Had an interesting situation a week or two ago. I did a book signing for... Do we need to take a break?
No.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not trying to micromanage you.
No.
But
kind
of motion me if I need to be quiet.
Yes.
Jennifer will. Don't worry.
I motion Jim a lot. Morgan likes pit bulls, by the way.
I'm so happy to be here with you.
We have a loyal listener, Morgan. And she said she likes pit bulls.
Oh.
Maybe she could get a dog to drive her places. One of these
Jim,
magical
that's
dogs.
Me. That is me.
Morgan doesn't like to drive because she's a terrible driver.
She's not a terrible driver.
I've never met her, by the way.
He just picks on anyone who's connected with me. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Are you inspired now to get a dog, maybe, Jennifer?
I'm not, but Patty was going to tell a story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, no, it was just, you know, as I continue to get out there with the book, it's amazing how I'm continually changed by the dogs and by the people who bring the dogs into their lives. I did an event for, it's called Southern Comfort Rescue. And there's a dog in the epilogue. Anybody who reads the book, you're going to read a chapter written by a woman named Bonnie and her dogs. And it ends on a sad note, but please hang on, because in the epilogue, it actually turns into a happy ending. And her next dog was brought to her by Southern Comfort. And I recently did an event for them, and they had 10 dogs they had just brought up from Georgia. And there was one dog that when I walked over, it immediately touched me and melted my heart. And I thought, oh, boy, I'm in trouble. Well, I got into more trouble because my neighbors across the street ended up bringing this dog home to foster. And every afternoon I would go over and get the dog and hang out with the dog. And anybody who's on my Magical Dogs Facebook page knows I was a mess because they kept saying, I don't think we're going to keep her. I don't think this is going to work. And I literally cried for 72 hours straight thinking this dog was. Well, the good news is they ended up adopting the dog. But I had been thinking about possibly fostering and talked to a lot of other dog owners. And I really, really respect people who can foster a dog because I think I don't have tough enough skin to do it.
We have a woman who works at the library that fosters dogs a lot, and her husband. They're very good with dogs. And there's another woman there that does it more with all animals, but she takes them on a lot. She loves doing it. She likes taking dogs and teaching them to, you know, rehabilitating them or whatever they have. She's very good, right?
She is.
I mean, God bless them.
Yeah, I know. I agree.
They do it. I get so attached. But thank goodness there's people out there who do it.
You're right. They get attached, too. And I always ask the husband's a friend of mine. I go, so how do you, after, you know, don't you fall in love with this dog? Oh, yeah, we want every one of them. But they let him go. And
have they ever kept any of the
Well, they have one of their own that's very good with other dogs. So then when they foster the dog, it's just the dog that they have actually helps acclimate the dog.
Perfect. And,
yes. So they're, yes, like you said, God bless them.
So did you get another dog?
I didn't. This is my, I still spend afternoons with this dog, so that's about the best I can do right now. But we'll see.
Well, because you're traveling so much.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see if it's meant to be. I trust it'll happen.
Well, if anybody wants a copy of either your books, how can they get a copy?
Well, thank you for asking, Jim.
Thank you for stating the obvious. Oh, my goodness.
Well, again, at my events, you can always get one. There are copies, signed copies of my book available at Basil Bandwagon in Flemington. You can also get a copy of my Alzheimer's book on my website, which is PattyKerr, PattyKerr.com. I'm going to be doing a book signing with the dog book at Barclays here on Main Street in Flemington next Saturday, October 22nd from 1 to 4. And I'll actually be joined by Hisun Andes, who is the owner of Pet Karma Dog Training. She'll be doing a puppy class, and ironically, Hisun's story is in my book. So that's going to be awesome. Otherwise, you can always get a signed copy on my website for that, which is magical-dogs.com, free shipping, and you can get the book signed. So thank you, Jim, for that wonderful lead-in.
You're welcome. I'm sure people are wondering how they can get a copy of one of the books.
And we do have copies in the library that you graciously donated.
Absolutely.
So you're going to write a third book at some point, I'm assuming.
He wasn't listening.
I know. He dropped off during that part of the interview. Well, I'm hoping. I mean, I kind of always trust that if it's meant to
be. Well, you didn't think you'd write a second. Now you...
Well, and it's already starting to bounce around in my head.
See? There you go.
On the Roads with Magical Dogs. And my dad's also given me an idea for another book, which he would like me to write, which is not about his experience in World War II, but about something completely different. So we'll see. We'll see what my journey brings.
So what else is on this life list of yours? You got a pretty impressive life list.
Well, yeah, there were 72 things.
72? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Wow, and how many have you done?
The first one was to be a great mom, which I think is kind of always a work in progress. I hope I've been that. Skydiving, firewalking.
Wow.
Riding in a biplane. A lot of places to see in the world. Paris. One of the things I haven't... I have done all that. The firewalking. I'm a firewalk instructor.
Oh, my God.
I've jumped out of a plane twice.
Maybe you should just write a memoir about your bucket list.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
See, now I have three books to write.
You were in a biplane, too?
Yeah, actually. And I usually don't get disturbed by being up in the air like that. But when he started doing loop-de-loops and then heading straight towards the earth, I was like, okay, we can stop this now. But the one thing I would really like to do in the next year or so is to see a sunset on the beach in Hawaii. I've never been. And everybody says Hawaii is just magnificent. So I'm hoping to check that out.
I've never been either.
Well, see, we need to plan a trip, kids. The library show hits the road.
That's right.
Be nice. Let's see if the chamber will fund that little trip.
Can I talk about your dad just real quick?
Absolutely.
I really, and my husband's always after him. He wants your dad to tell these stories. Have you ever brought him to the Reading Airport the first long weekend in June? The first Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of June, Reading Airport, the Mid-Atlantic Air Museum, has a World War II weekend.
Oh.
And they have planes. They put them, and when your dad said he was a belly gunner.
Right.
They have the planes, and you can see where the men sat in the ball turret. And then you go inside, and the man says, oh, yeah, I was 18. I thought it'd be really cool to shoot from in there. And you go, how did you live through this? And they have all these World War II veterans in the hangar that you can talk about, and you can walk up and touch the plane. Last year they had one of the only two wooden mosquitoes left in the world, and they do air shows. They have paratroopers.
Oh, I'd love to take
you. Yeah, I think you would really enjoy it.
Actually, one of the things on my life list was to ride in a B-17 with
you
my
can,
dad.
You can
and
do
we did it.
Oh, you did it.
The whole family went up.
Okay, was it Fifi?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it. It was out of Mercer Airport.
Okay.
But we went up, and honestly, I didn't stop to think about the impact that was going to have on my dad. When he got situated in the plane, I turned and I looked at him, and he had such a faraway look, and I thought, oh, my gosh. The last time this man was in one of these planes, he was getting shot down. Never even thought about that. And when they fired up those engines and we took off, the whole family was incredibly impacted by that experience, and we really got a better feel for what Dad went through. And I really wish he would tell his story, because it's a piece of history that we really don't know. When I tell people my dad was on a death march, they all think baton.
Right.
And I say, no, it's a death march in the European theater. You know, tell them all about it, and nobody knows about it. And it's a piece of history that we really don't know about, but right now he's not talking.
Well, I'll have to make sure you get the information, and maybe after he talks to some of the other veterans, maybe he'll be inspired too.
I would love that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah,
great Father's Day gift.
Oh, yeah. It's something worth not missing because of the rate that the World War II veterans are dying.
Right.
And like you said, when they're gone,
the stories go too.
That's right. Yeah.
We used to have veterans roundtables at the library. I guess we kind of discontinued because we had trouble finding veterans, correct?
No, it wasn't that. It was that the coordinator, I think, passed away.
Oh.
The person who had helped us organize it. But Archie Fagan at ShopRite.
Right.
He's being honored by a Boy Scout troop coming up, where he just was, I forget. But he shares many of his World War II stories.
See, he likes to talk.
Yes. Oh, yes.
My dad's the opposite end of the spectrum. He's very
But you're
quiet.
Right. Most people don't like to talk. I had a great uncle who was at the Battle of the Bulge, and yeah, he couldn't get two words out of him. So that's just the way they just, I don't know if they, just that whole generation about anything. They're very, keep things to themselves. And
well, and like I said, my dad always said, I didn't do anything extraordinary. I did what my country asked me to do. There's no story. And I think he's such a humble man that I think he feels like if he talks about it, it's...
Well, he's like thinking, you know, he's probably not he's discounting what he saw, not what he actually did, but what he saw on top of everything else. This is, you know, he's probably thinking that, you know, I didn't personally, but I mean, he did a lot, obviously, but I didn't personally, you know, whatever, shoot down an airplane or whatever, but he must have saw so much.
Right. And he's, I mean, he's he would be considered a primary source, you know, as far as, but anyway, no pressure on him.
Well, and what I did is I actually started going around him, and I put a notice in POW and 8th Air Force magazine saying, I'm working on this book, and men started writing to me and giving me their story. So I thought, I'm going to go around him, and I'm going to write this story and then bring him in at the back end. But again, then Mom got diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it just didn't seem appropriate to make him deal with it. So we'll see.
Okay. So since we're talking about history, do you want to try Today in History and Patty?
Okay, let me update the weather real quick, and then we will play Today in History. Slight chance of rain today. It looks like 1%. Why do they even mention
that? I don't know. It's like when I brought the garbage can in today, the cover was wet, and that was about it.
Skies will be clearing. Temperatures going up to about 70 degrees today. Tomorrow, 64 degrees and clear. Actually clear through the whole weekend. Temperatures in the upper 60s to low 70s. On Sunday. So a glorious fall weekend coming up, Jennifer.
Yes.
Leaves turning, Hunterdon County.
Yeah.
I was just remembering, I was driving in from the airport on last weekend. Remember, like, you were around for a long time, Patty. Remember fall weekends in Hunterdon County? Like, 202 was like, it was like a parking lot. People coming to the country to,
until
whatever,
1979, we were
and
those
go
people.
To the. Go to the Atlas, but come to the country in the fall. I can remember when I've lived here since 1987, Patty. So even back then, I mean, I could remember it. Like, you had to be careful on the roads on fall weekends because it was packed, but that's not the case anymore.
No, unfortunately.
It's a shame.
But I think I think people go to the farms on the edges of the county more because I hear a lot of people talking about the place up on 31 that has the goats almost up in Hampton.
Oh, yeah. I actually rode past that yesterday.
Yeah, did you? Yeah.
Not yesterday, last weekend, because I was doing a signing at Cherry Brook in Washington. It was packed.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they found other ice cream, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Worth the trip.
Yeah, and Schaefer's Farm on 523.
What's the name of that farm on 31?
I don't know. I think
either.
It begins with a G. All right, I'll look.
That doesn't help me much.
And a lot of the farms are having fall festivals now.
Yes, I know. I want to definitely check out a couple of those.
So I think with GPSs, people are coming in like back roads.
I'm going to go up to Sleepy Hollow on one Sunday.
Are you?
They do a reading in the old Dutch church of this Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It's really
That's
good.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yes. So I'll be doing that on the 23rd, Jennifer.
Just Thursday?
FYI.
That's on a Thursday.
It's a Sunday.
Okay.
Okay, Jennifer's playing the music, Patty, to our segment called Today in History. So every week I ask Jennifer some questions on events that happened on this date, which is October 13th in years past. And then I also ask her, I give her some names of people that were born or who have died on this date, just to see if she knows who they are just by hearing the name. Kind of obscure people. Like people I know, does Jennifer know them? Because we kind of run in different circles. I'm not allowed to put like sports people in there.
You do this. You slip
occasionally. If it's a Met or something, Jennifer's a big Mets fan. Okay, so we'll just get started.
And jump right in, please.
Okay, so it's October 13th. Let's go back to October 13th, 1307, Jennifer. Actually, this is just kind of it's not a real question. Let me just read what happened. Hundreds of the Knights Templar in France are simultaneously arrested by the agents of Philip the Fair and to be later tortured into confession for heresy. Just my rhetorical question to you two is, why do they call him Philip the Fair if he tortured people into confession?
I think it was the coloring of his skin.
Oh, really? He had fair skin?
I think he would have been blonde. I think he was probably blonde.
I didn't think of
that.
I would think so, too.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not fair that he's... Okay, I was thinking fair, like he was not unreasonable. But obviously he was.
Well, maybe people thought that way. Let's see.
Okay, 1792. On this date, they laid the cornerstone for what important building?
What year?
In Washington, D.C. 1792. October 13th. The cornerstone for what building was laid on this date?
You can do it.
The Capitol.
looking for the White House.
The White House.
The Executive Mansion, 1792.
Do they still have the original cornerstone? Because it did burn down.
I'm sure they do, Jennifer. Stones don't burn.
True. Philip was also called Philip the Iron King.
The Iron King?
Yes.
Okay, that's enough about Philip. Let's go to October 13th, 1917. Jennifer will know this one. The miracle of the sun occurred. What was the miracle of the sun?
S-U-N?
Yes.
I'm going to know this.
No? It was witnessed by an estimated 70,000 people, where people said the sun got dull and then started throwing bright colors along the earth and then it appeared to come toward the earth.
Why
and
would
then
I know this one?
Zigzag back and forth into its current location.
Why did you think I'd know that one?
Because it's a religious connotation. Three children said that the lady, the mother.
It's Fatima?
Yes, the Fatima miracle.
Oh.
Three children said this woman spoke to them and said, come to this. Go to this field on October 13th, 1917, and you'll see a miracle. And that's what happened. And it was witnessed by 70,000 people, including a pope.
Really?
You know me better than that, Jim Thatch.
You didn't know that? You don't believe it? You don't believe it happened?
I didn't know it.
Okay, but do you believe it happened?
I believe people believe it happened.
See, these are the kind of these are the kind of evasive answers you get to expect from Jennifer.
Non-committal.
Okay, and finally, in this is the last event.
This is a boring day.
1958, Jennifer and Patty, October 13th. What English children's literary character makes his debut? English children's literature character makes his debut on this date in 1958.
Peter Rabbit.
Good guess. It is an animal.
Oh. But not Peter Rabbit.
But it's not Peter Rabbit.
Oh, I was going to say something else. It's an animal?
I don't even know anything about these stories, so you have to educate me. A bigger animal than a rabbit.
It's in a book or?
It's a book. Okay. Yeah, it's a character from English children's literature.
I don't know.
I guess several books, I'm assuming. Paddington Bear.
Oh, my goodness, of course.
So who's Paddington Bear?
Michael Bond wrote them. He was a bear. He was left at Paddington Station with a tag around his neck. Please look after this bear. He had a navy blue coat and a yellow rain hat. You've never seen Paddington Bear?
I've heard of him, but I didn't know the story. I think I knew he wore a raincoat.
He came from deepest, darkest Africa.
So is it a series of books?
Yes. And there was just a movie, like a.
Can you borrow them at the Hunterdon County Library?
Of course you can. And there's a local connection to Paddington Bear. My mother makes teddy bears, or used to. And there used to be a restaurant on Main Street, La Champagne. You probably remember it. It's where, I think the building is pink now. It used to be in a white Victorian
mansion. It should have been pink back then, too, if it's kind La Champagne.
Champagne is beige.
Pink champagne? Why do I think champagne?
Some champagne is pink. But anyway, they used to have a Paddington Bear sitting on their steps.
That your mother made?
No. And somebody took it, and so she made them a new one so that they had a Paddington Bear for there.
What a great story.
Yeah.
Right, Jim?
That's a
and that was one of my
story,
sister's
Patty.
Favorite books, so I'm really surprised I didn't think of it.
That's okay. Okay, now some people that were born on this date, Patty and Jennifer. Okay, born on this date in 1935, Bruce Morrow.
Oh, Cousin Brucey?
Cousin Brucey is correct. Wow. Very good. DJ Cousin Brucey, who's still around, actually.
Yeah, he's
He's still broadcasts.
Yeah.
He's been doing it for over 50 years, I think. Very good. Okay, 1942. This is kind of sports related. Jerry Jones. Anybody know who Jerry Jones is?
No.
He's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He's the one that built that big stadium. Can you picture him now that I've said who he is?
No. Vaguely.
You both know this one. 1959, on October 13th, Marie Osmond was born. So Jennifer needs to give me a couple things to verify that she actually does know. Sometimes she fakes
Marie
it a little
and Donnie?
Bit. Yeah, Donnie Marie is correct.
She was one of, they were Mormon. She had a lot of brothers and sisters. She has a line of dolls. She was a spokeswoman for
She does have a line of dolls. Very good.
She was spokeswoman for Weight Watchers, maybe, yes. Or Jenny Craig.
She had one hit. Any idea what the name of that song was?
I had an album. But I don't think
it was. Marie Osmond had. It was called Paper Roses.
Could you hum a few bars for us, Jim?
I could, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
Can we talk about Donnie? I know a lot more about Donnie.
Yeah, I figured. You had a crush on Donnie Osmond?
I didn't. Oh. Not particularly. Sean Cassidy.
Sean Cassidy had a crush on? Really?
Me or Sean Cassidy had a crush on Donnie?
No, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Tough hanging on and following these
conversations. 1969, Nancy Kerrigan was born.
Oh, the skater who got her knees bashed by Tanya Harding?
Very good. That's a quality answer,
that's
Patty.
The kind of answers Jim
yes,
looks
that's
for.
Exactly
oh, okay,
the
good. So maybe I can come back sometime. Yes.
Okay, here's a topical one for you. Born in 1971, Billy Bush.
I still don't know who he is.
Is he the one in the recent... Entertainment Tonight video.
That's correct. The one with Donald Trump. That's
I know, but
Donald
I still
Trump
don't know who he is, even though I know what
talking to. He was a host of a lot of these entertainment shows.
Entertainment Tonight or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Patty needs to know. I haven't watched TV in 11 years.
He was born on this date. The notorious Billy Bush, and then finally died on this date. I only have one. But Jennifer prefers when I tell you people who died on a date. Don't ask me why. But died on October 13th, 1945, Milton Hershey.
Hershey Candy?
And the founder of the school.
Yes. One of the greatest philanthropists of all time, Milton Hershey.
Indeed.
It started, I think the school is still one of the largest schools for, I forget exactly who they accept in that school.
Wayward Boys.
But the kids live there. It's mm-hmm. tuition free.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just boys.
No, I think it's probably called
orphans. Is it orphans? I don't know.
I don't think it's orphans any longer.
I don't know, but of course the Hershey candy bar too.
Yes.
Ever been to Hershey? Is that on your life list, Patty? Hershey
I've been
Park.
There. Yes, it wasn't on my list, but yes, I have been there.
Has Jennifer been there?
I have.
Okay.
I've been several times.
Oh, good. And that's today in history. We do that every week. Some weeks there's some more interesting things. Other weeks it's.
It's been kind of ho-hum
a little light.
We're in a funny cycle on Thursdays.
We realized that nothing happens in August, event-wise. It's probably too hot globally for people to actually go out and do exciting things.
Yes.
We found that out last August.
All right, should we do the list?
This is our last commercial break, and we have about 10 minutes left. We'll be right back.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325. You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to the library show in less than 10 minutes, Jim Gannot will be in. And we're just finishing up talking with author Patty Kerr. And Jim Thatch is here as well.
Keep going, Jennifer.
I'm running out of things to say.
Okay, we're going to touch on a couple programs coming up, and then we'll let Patty give some final thoughts. So think about that, Patty. Hopefully on your life list, making a gingerbread house is there, is it? Because we have a gingerbread competition every year at the Hunterdon County Library, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Friends of the Hunterdon County Library. So we're accepting entries now. So this is the entry form, Patty. Our listeners can't see this, but we have recipes to make gingerbread and icing right on the form. That's you have perfect. Your choice of making either a scene from a storybook or a building from like a story or a novel, like Hogwarts or The House in Paris with Vines, something like that.
Yeah, we tried that one.
Or you can make a local scene. That's the chamber where the chamber comes in. So you can do the Union Hotel or the courthouse. Or
we've had train stations. We had a chicken farm and from Ringo's.
Yeah, you can just do a farm.
How
or you can
cool
do,
is that?
Yeah. They can do. They're very creative. So I definitely recommend, if you're not going to make one for us, stop by in December. They're on display for the whole month of December in our main gallery. So if you're interested in signing up for the gingerbread competition, just go to our webpage, hclibrary.us, and right on the homepage is a link to the entry form, which we'll need you to just print out and fill out and then drop off at the library or send it to us. There's different categories just for kids only. There's categories for students ages 13 through 18. There's an adult individual category. There's a family category, which is probably our most popular. Would you agree, Jennifer, popular category?
I think so, yes.
Categories for groups like schools or churches, and then a professional category, which we rarely get professionals. Have we gotten
a
professional?
We had one last year.
We did?
Yeah, she did Little House in the Big Woods. Laura Ingalls Wilder.
And the Chamber of Commerce provides prizes for all the first place winners. And we have a welcome reception for everyone that entered with refreshments, so it's a fun time. We do a lot of holiday events at the library around Christmas, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We really get into it there. Yes. A lot of harmonizers, Hunterdon harmonizers come and perform. Eric Mantel Jazz Quartet does a holiday show. We have Fred Miller. I don't know if you know who that is. He's very popular with our senior citizens. He does an afternoon concert series, and he does like a big Christmas sing-along.
Oh, what fun.
So people love that, too. Jennifer invites the Hunterdon Central Fiddle Club
to
come out and do a concert of holiday music.
We started
in December.
I started where I just wanted them to come and like play in the lobby or something, and then people wanted to sit and listen. So now we have them in the meeting room. But I just wanted them, like, you know, there.
And it's around the holidays?
Yeah, I think it's December 9th this year.
Terrific. Yeah.
The other thing we do, which is going on right now, not holiday-related, but related to your book about dogs, is we do Pause to Read. Do you know that program that we do?
I do. And actually, I met a woman last week who is part of that program. She came to my signing, and she couldn't say enough amazing things about the program. So good for you.
Yes, it is very popular. So, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Twofold. You know, some children are a little hesitant around dogs. I mean, it just makes them completely comfortable around these well-behaved dogs. And they read. They learn how to read or practice the reading. It's just it is a very good thing. I'm very proud of that program, even though I didn't think of it.
Actually, one of the stories in my book, every chapter has an added educational component. And one of the stories is about a group of dogs who go to the library, and the add-on is about those programs. And what touched me was the children said, I love reading to the dogs because they don't judge me.
Okay.
So
that's good.
Good yeah. for you for having that.
All right, and just currently, I just want to touch that we're having our annual amateur photography show is currently on display in our main gallery. And we invite people to stop by and vote for the favorite photograph. We have an award ceremony on Wednesday, October 19th. With refreshments, we'll announce all the winners, including the Public's Choice Award that's voted on by anybody that stops by the library and picks a favorite photograph. And Jennifer's favorite photograph is which one?
I haven't seen them in a week. I have to go look again.
Oh. You won't have, by the time you get back, your vote will be too late.
No, on the 18th.
Oh, okay.
I'll be back. I see the tricky tray. We had our friends of the library tricky tray raffle Saturday. How did it go?
I wasn't there.
You haven't heard anything?
I just heard it was very crowded. They needed more space. Like, they had like 200 baskets raffled off.
Wow.
That were donated and raffled off. And everything from big screen TVs to gift cards to restaurants and things like that. So I heard it was wildly popular. They just need more room. So we'll remedy that next year, hopefully. But this is another fundraiser the Friends do to help the library provide their services and programs. The other one, of course, being the book sale in April. So thank you to the Friends of the Huntington County Library. For
and to all the merchants.
All they do.
They donated.
Great.
Wow. All right. So what are your last words of wisdom, Patty?
Oh, geez.
Do you have any?
No, I just really, again, thank you for inviting me. And if anybody would like to come out and hear me speak again, I'll be at the Open Arms Adult Day Center on Maple Street in Lebanon, Tuesday, November 1st at 7 p.m. Again, it's free. Encourage all professional family caregivers and the general public to come on out. And I'll be at Barclays Gourmet Pet Store on Main Street in Flemington on Saturday, October 22nd from 1 to 4. And a portion of all books sold that day will go out to Rogers Rescues, which is a local animal rescue. So look forward to meeting everybody. And again, thanks for being here. You two are awesome.
Oh, well, thank you for joining us. Again, we had Patty Kerr, local author of I Love You, Who Are You? I can't see because I don't have my glasses on. Loving and Caring for a Parent with Alzheimer's and Magical Dogs. Love and lessons from our canine companions. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. And remember, wherever you are, you can call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you. And now, till we meet again,
adios, au revoir, I'll be missing. Good night. Good night.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Let's be practical here and let's deal with the issues right now.
Former Republican presidential candidate Ben Carson saying the New York Times and other publications are using reports about Donald Trump's treatment of women to manipulate voters and take the spotlight off the issues. Carson talking on Fox News. Here's more on the story from Scott Pringle.
Jessica Leeds tells the New York Times that Donald Trump groped her on an airplane 3 decades ago. Rachel Crooks worked here at Trump Tower and claims that Trump kissed her on the lips. Trump's campaign demanding the New York Times retract this story, calling it fiction and nothing more than a political attack.
Two wounded Boston police officers lie in hospital beds this morning as we hear from Sarah Jacobs.
Shot when they responded to a domestic incident, the suspect was reportedly wearing body armor when they encountered him. The man was killed, the two officers critically injured.
This is USA Radio News.
Flu season is here, but there's something else going around that can be even more contagious, and that's hope. Rite Aid is committed to spreading hope, not the flu. In honor of all our customers who get a flu shot, the Rite Aid Foundation is donating over $1.8 million to more than 350 KidSense charities committed to the health and well-being of children in our communities. So come in today and get your flu shot. No appointments necessary, and it's free with most insurance. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
Love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today, the daily links at USSportsPages.com.
The Pentagon calls it self-defense, an American warship striking three Houthi rebel-operated radar sites in Yemen early today. That after those rebels, who are backed by Iran, are believed to have fired the two missiles that just missed the USS Mason on Sunday and the missile that just missed it yesterday. The feds suspect that a plane that crashed in East Hartford, Connecticut this week was brought down on purpose by a Jordanian man who was in the country purposely to learn how to fly.
The crash of the two-engine plane Tuesday killed 28-year-old student pilot Ferris Freitek and injured the flight instructor. He reportedly said Freitek deliberately caused the crash as the plane was coming in to land. East Hartford Police Lieutenant Josh Litwin says nothing's certain.
What the circumstances were that led to it being intentional, there's no clear indication as far as any motive or source behind anything.
The Daily